This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't think that's a very good attitude.
It's Mike Shope.
You don't think? I don't think you should be butting in when I'm talking to my team. You're my assistant, okay? You're supposed to back me up and go get me juice boxes when I tell you. Now go get me a juice box.
You know who you're talking to.
It's the Bulldog.
I'm talking to the juice box guy.
You're crazy.
I'm not crazy. I'm just thirsty.
Why don't you go to hell?
No, you go to hell. While you're there, why don't you grab me a juice box?
I'm no juice box boy, I'll tell you that.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog. On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Yeah, sure, whatever they said. Hey, good to have you with us. Good afternoon. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope has a couple of days off. And Nate Geary's here pinch hitting, which is awfully nice. I don't know if I say this on the air. I usually privately tell you. Like, it means so much to me that you answer the bat signal when I send it out.
Of course.
Really, love it. I mean, I'm fine doing shows by myself, but I like this way more.
Yeah.
So,
thanks
for making the time.
When I'm not here and I have to listen to just you, I'm like,
that's gotta be.
I really wish I was available for Bulldog. God, is he talking about that again?
Well, we'll see how today goes. I'm already regretting my choice of clothing. We're in that weird sort of temperature where
the flux.
Like, I'll just throw on a hoodie. I'm fine. I'm fine outside in a hoodie. It's 55 or 60 degrees. The hoodie's perfect. I can already feel the sweat building under my man boobs right now in this thing. And I don't have a t-shirt on underneath it. So like it's either shirts and skins or I'm going to sit over here, bathing.
So I've actually figured out advice for people that will be sitting in this room for extended periods on how they should dress.
See, this might be very helpful because I've worked here for 25 years and still don't really know what to do.
I think you should treat this room and sitting in this room like you are flying across the country.
I think this works.
You should treat it like you are taking a red eye from LAX to Buffalo Airport. Buffalo Niagara. And if you do that, you will likely be comfortable. And when inevitably by 6 p.m., you have that film of
that airline
carbon
film.
That is just spewing from our mouths, where it's like, oh, I'm breathing in someone else's hacking lung. You start to realize this is just like you're in the cabin of an airplane in here. Yeah. You are in the Air France general population where there are 9 people sitting next to each other and coughing a lung into a puke bag. So if you treat it like that, you will be very comfortable in here.
See, a lot of that sounded like avoiding getting sick and not how to dress.
And
so I'm not sure.
I want to tell you that I was speaking from direct experience.
I just want to move on.
It was incredibly specific, so I just want you to know I'm talking from experience.
It didn't really sound much like a hypothetical to me.
Yeah, it wasn't.
As it turns out. Anyway, good to have you here.
Thanks, buddy.
We have a lot to do today. Our buddy Joe Ostrowski from BetQL will be with us in the 4 o'clock hour. 5 o'clock will be Sal Capaccio. We'll get a rundown from One Bill's drive today. still, I think, a lot of concern around the receiving core moving into this Week 10 game at Indianapolis. So we'll cover that. We'll cover some of that before we even get to Salad 5. And at 6, Paul Hamilton will come in and ruin everything. The Sabres play tonight in New York against the Rangers. So pregame show will roll at 6 for that with all the usual stuff, of course, including Paul leading us off. So that's the lay of the land. Phone lines are available if you want to get in. We're going to be talking some football. Don't worry. It's not going to be what to wear on an airplane and or hosting a radio show.
But that'll also be included.
It's
you get everything.
It's value added.
That's right.
803-0550 is the number. Here's where I wanted to start. Mike and I, a week or two ago, had a decent amount of traction with our audience and just enjoyed talking about it ourselves, about how we were feeling about the Bills here. At this point, it's obviously after 9 games, heading into Week 10, versus how we felt about them at the beginning of the season, like in the summer, rolling into September, like before the first game of the year, like what our expectations were, what is possible, just anything in that realm. And I think, you know, you and I haven't been together since the summer. Of course, we've been hearing you on, I know you were on from Batavia Downs on Saturday, right?
Was.
They had a great weekend out there. I talked to Ryan this week, and he said they had a fantastic Friday and Saturday. So kudos to you for pitching in that effort for them. How are you feeling about the Bills 9 games in here versus what maybe your expectations were back in September before the season began?
I think probably where I'd have to start is feeling pleasantly surprised about a couple of things. I know you and I have sat here in years past and talked about, like, one specific thing when it's comparing your team to the Kansas City Chiefs, which is what you have to do. I mean, that's what every other AFC contender does. The Ravens are building a team to beat the Chiefs the same way the Bills are, the same way that the Bengals did. The Bills just didn't know that those two teams were capable of also beating you on your way to trying to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. But we talked about, and I've talked about, like, that Chiefs team has a Hall of Fame head coach. Maybe the best offensive-minded head coach in NFL history, has, when it's all said and done, probably the best quarterback ever, or at least in that conversation, right? They have a Hall of Fame best-ever pass-catching tight end. They have a Hall of Fame top 5 interior defensive lineman of all time. And then they have supplemented really good players that they extract the value out of and then trade at the top of their value. I'm thinking of like L'Jarius Sneed, for instance, right? They move on from Sneed before he gets paid. He's an okay player now, but they traded him at his peak and they got maximum value in return, and they drafted his replacement in Trent McDuffie, who is right up there with one of the best corners in football. They decided that, yeah, Tyreek Hill's really great, but we're going to move off of him and do this thing by committee. And we're going to have a great offense. We're going to run the football and blah, 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 all that crap, right? And where I started my concern this offseason began at, not only did you fail to beat, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs in your defined window, you failed to close the gap in talent. And this year it was very obvious to me that the talent gap was larger than it had been since Allen and Mahomes really had this rivalry going. But what you can't take into account is guys that will just get better. All you can do is take it on face value. And what we had at face value was, Ed Oliver's a pretty good player. Is he great? Greg Rousseau's a pretty good player. Is he great? We think Dalton Kincaid could be great. We think Khalil Shakir can be a number one receiver. We think Connor McGovern can move over to center and it'd be fine and move David Edwards into left guard. Right. We think Taylor Rapp's going to be able to, you know, be more athletic than Jordan Poyer. You know, we think Terrell Bernard is as good as he was last year and maybe he'll be better. So all of a sudden, we think Christian Benford is a legitimate zone. All of these things came together. Not every single one. Kincaid isn't the best tight end in football, and you know. But I think what we're seeing here in Buffalo, or this point, as I think I'm bringing it back home to why I think I feel differently today than I did, you know, maybe in training camp, is this is a very, very well-coached football team. From top to bottom, from position coaches to coordinators to head coach. And this year, I think you're seeing the value of continuity, of development, more than ever. And it's not just Buffalo being the face of it. It's also other teams showing the opposite, where you have coaches for teams that are talented that can't seem to get them to success. New York, the Raiders. Like, you have these coaches where it's like the Raiders have one of the, if not the best defensive player in the NFL, and they have the worst defense in the league. They spent a lot of money, and they've got lots of the draft picks. And so there is something to be said about Brandon Bean has maybe not hit the home run. They haven't gotten a Brian Burns. They haven't drafted a Trent McDuffie. But they've gotten, I mean, James Cook's a top seven back, top eight back in the league. Kincaid is a top 10 tight end. They've got enough players that can help across the roster. And I still think this was the one area that Brandon Bean figured out is you've got to have depth. And they've got great depth. They were able to overcome the injuries early. So I guess where for me is it is shined through their ability to develop, their ability to coach. And sure, there are shortcomings. There's going to be shortcomings. But for not being the most talented team in their division, they are blowing this division out. And they are not the most talented team in this division. They might be the third most talented team in this division. But they're the best coached.
Third most talented team in the division.
I mean, do the Bills have a player as good as Jalen Ramsey on their roster? Tyreek Hill?
Okay, no.
The tops of their roster, they are more talented. The Bills are deeper than both the Jets and the Dolphins.
No, that's right. That's the point. Yeah. Okay, right. I don't know why I'm pushing back.
Like, they've got star power. Bills, really, they've got Josh Allen.
Yeah. Everything else is just kind of
They are pieced together really well. They are just a well-built machine. They got guys that buy in. All you have to do is listen to Jordan Phillips, who's left again and then came back, talk about, well, I don't know, I'm going to get my best football here because I'm wanted here. Like that, there is something to be said about when guys get here in the system, they play their best.
Yeah. The point about the continuity, I feel like, really shined through. You mentioned it. The early injuries, right? When Jamarcus Ingram and Cam Lewis have to play, and they're not only do they play and the Bills get by, but they're like making, you know, Jamarcus Ingram's got to pick six. And
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And Cam Lewis is making plays, and those are guys that, if you're turning your coaching staff over, you know, even just one time, while those guys are early in their time on the practice squad, they're probably in the wind.
Yeah.
Right? But they're here. They're under the same group, same coaches, mostly, at least theoretically, the same system for sure. You know, might be different position coaches year over year in their time here. But they're given this breath to develop, and you know, it helped them. I mean, I don't think those are guys that I want to have to count on necessarily all the time, but when they were called on this year, they did the job, and that's what really matters. And you know, hopefully here the Bills can get through like this receiver room right now with Coleman in question, at least for this week. And Cooper, I think, in question, at least for this week, if not longer. Like, I don't know if he's even catching passes yet, Cooper.
Yeah.
Like that. So
seems like he's not.
So I don't know how much of a long shot that is for him. But hopefully they didn't get through that. Because what you're hoping for, I think, is that you had your bad luck with injuries early.
Last year it was late.
Late. I mean, they got clobbered late.
Yeah.
And were really on three wheels by the time they got to the Chiefs game in the playoffs. So you got to kind of hope for that, I think. For me, like, I'm also like surprised. I thought they'd be good. I liked them to win the division. For me, a part of that was I was never a believer in the Jets.
No, me either. I mean, you know, I was not.
I thought they'd be duking it out with the Dolphins, and Tua's injury likely submarined that.
Even then, so I don't think they're good.
Yeah, you're probably right, yeah. But I thought it could be about like last year, right?
I talked
they
about
don't have
this
to beat good teams to have a good record.
That's right. And I talked about this with Sal actually in the broadcast booth Sunday. We were both talking about the Dolphins, and him and I both, like, really dating back to training camp, were like, man, it is, and maybe it's just because the Bills have won this division so much that all of the conversation all offseason was the Bills lost a lot. The Dolphins lost way more than the Bills did. Way more, like, impactful players. The Bills lost a lot, but they were not impactful players anymore.
I don't think the Bills lost anyone as important as Wilkins.
Correct. Or even Robert Hunt. They didn't replace it, and they went out there and scoffed at everybody and said, well, Tua gets rid of the ball quickly. We don't need an offensive line. Okay. How's that worked for you? I mean, the Bills were playing a Tua-led The Dolphins should have lost their opener against the Jags. Jags pissed that game away. They should have been 0-1 going into that game, and they were getting routed.
Yeah.
And Tua was, in that moment, Tua was like, I think I got to do something special here because we're getting embarrassed again at home in primetime. And then, you know, he put his head into Mar Hamlin's chest and the rest is history. It's just like the Dolphins lost more than people thought. They also scapegoated a defensive coordinator who, by the way, is the architect of modern day defense and said, well, no, it's his fault that and none of these guys want to play for him. And then they brought somebody else in and they're worse.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it wasn't the architect of two high safeties that was the problem in Miami.
So as I was saying there, like I'm pleasantly surprised by the record, and I also feel like despite that the Chiefs are looming there at 8-0, and you know obviously still have not lost a game, so I recognize the Bills are they got some work to do to catch them, but all it takes here, I mean, can I get a Denver upset here in week 10 while the Bills are playing the Colts and hopefully taking care of business? I did not expect for it to be November and to be thinking about the one seed. I just sort of felt like Baltimore and Kansas City are more loaded. They're probably going to run away with that. I'll just bide my, you know, just play my wild card game at home and then see what happens after that is what I sort of expected this year. And, I in no way am saying the Bills are the favorite to be the one seed. I mean, they have a lot of work to do in their schedule after this Indy game, you know, gets – there's quite a few potholes sitting out there for them with the 49ers out there and the Lions out there. And I think even a trip to go play the Rams could be a really challenging thing with Nacua and Cooper Kupp and the way Stafford's slinging it around now. So you've got like a challenge, I think, to get to, say, 13 wins, which is probably what it's going to take at least to be the one. But to me, I don't want to close the door on it. Like I'm still thinking that's available to them. I just need a Chief loss here somewhere to at least get me to where I can pass them a week from Sunday, and then it's just try to hold serve. And again, it'll be tough. But I didn't think at all I'd be thinking like that. And again, in 2 weeks, maybe we won't be, or I won't be at all. And then we'll turn our attention to, hey, how soon do you start resting guys? Right? It's going to become like NBA load management time, I think, because if the bye is off the table, being rested when the playoffs get here, I would say would be at a paramount.
I would tell you that my mind is not headed towards the one seed. Even with the Bills where they are, the Chiefs have a very easy schedule. I mean, they play Carolina, they're playing the Raiders, they're playing the Broncos twice, the Browns. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a Charger game in there,
Listen, I think that there's a real chance that they could be a one or two loss team and not be that scary.
Well, right, that's the other part of it. Like the quality within the conference itself, I don't feel, even though Baltimore curb stomped them, I don't feel like anybody out there looks too good for them.
It's the thing about the Chiefs that I think is just really impressive is they consistently win games without their fastball.
Mm-hmm.
Most teams, I don't really know a lot of teams that can win consistently when they don't have their fastball. The Bills cannot. Bills cannot win consistently when they don't have their fastball. They are the best. If they're not the best team, I don't know, because I don't know that I know what the Chiefs' fastball is. And I think that eventually will come back to haunt them, which is if their defense has to play incredible all the time and all Mahomes has to do is get the ball last, that could work for them. Like, Mahomes going to score last a lot, but not every time. Like, eventually, someone will stop them, and it will be surprising when it happens. But it will happen eventually. I
feel like every game they've played, they could have lost this year.
Yep.
And
they don't.
While the Bills, the Bills have had their close calls. Miami here, Arizona, the Jet win. They've also murdered some teams. I mean, yes, bad teams, but they have murdered them. So I feel like, style point-wise, I just don't feel like there's that much of a gap, even though the Bills just can't seem to beat them in January.
I don't think the Ravens can win close games. And I think the Bills are not there. I think the Bills can win close games. I think they're better equipped to win close games than the Ravens are. But I think at the end of the day, if you were to ask me today which team is best equipped to beat Kansas City, I still think it's the Bills. I know the Henry aspect, and together those two are both MVP candidates. They were like the number one rush team in football last year.
Right.
And then they didn't run the football. And they're going to have to face their defense is not good. The Ravens' defense is not good.
No.
And I don't know what happened in that Bills matchup. They became easier to defend because of the first play of the game for the Ravens. That's really, to me, the start of that game doomed them. And they didn't have a receiver that can disconnect or, could create any level of separation. But I still think at the end of the day, if you're asking me today, who's the team best equipped to beat the Chiefs if it was an AFC championship game and I had to put money on one team, I would put it on the Bills over the Ravens. That doesn't mean I think the Bills could beat the Ravens. If it's Bills-Ravens, that's not a good matchup for the Bills.
But it's definitely not a good matchup.
It's not a good matchup for the Bills.
What you need is for the offense to function.
Yes.
Like that, you want to – you're not going to stop Derrick Henry by scoring.
Right.
But, you at least you hold serve and, make it a game. And with their defense, is that why you say you think they're – because, I mean, they won a really they won a last-second game with Cincinnati. Is it the defensive weakness why you think Baltimore's not equipped to win close games? Because I feel like the best passing game in the league and the best running back in the league is a pretty good combination.
It is, but they know how to slow down Lamar. They know what to do in the pass game to get him off of his game, and they're gonna score enough points, and they're gonna take away your fastball, and that's what Spags does. He takes away your fastball, and if the fastball right now is Derrick Henry, which by the way I think it is. They can go back to, and Lamar can have a perfect passer rating in week 9, but when it comes to it in the playoffs, he has not performed as a passer. He just hasn't. That's just the statistics talking. That's not a bias. It's just he has not performed. And again, I think if it comes down to Kansas City's got the ball last, if it's a tied game or trailing by 3, that game's over. It's over. And I think that probably that way for the Bills, to be honest. If the Bills, just like I believed it would have been last year, it's why that field goal meant absolutely nothing to me last year. It's because it just did not matter. The ball was going to be in Patrick Mahomes' hands. And the people that'll argue, but at least you would have had a chance to stop him. Okay, I agree with that.
Sure.
You would have had a chance. But I think if you're going to beat the Chiefs, you need to score with no time left.
Yes. Yes, that's kind of where I'm at. Yeah, get a memo to Tampa, will you please? Because
it needs to be a Josh Allen tush-push with 0 seconds left, with 1 second left, snap the ball, fall forward, and then you'll convince me this team can beat the Chiefs in the playoffs.
There's very little margin for error in that scenario.
Makes the greatness of the Chiefs makes that is if they played a perfect game, I don't think anyone could beat them. They don't do that a lot, but they beat a lot of good teams with their C game.
They've done a lot this year.
They've done it every game.
They won two Super Bowls in a row, maybe doing it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that is tough to deal with. Nate Geary's in for Mike Shope. I'm the Bulldog. Lines are open. You want to get in on how you find? I know we sort of rehashed this a couple of weeks ago, but, you know, do some more of it here. It's just really just two dudes talking football, and you're welcome to make it a third dude or woman, whatever. 803-0550 is the number. Joe Ostrowski coming up at 4, Sal Capaccio at 5, Sabres pregame with Paul Hamilton at 6. That is what we've got for you. Again, lines open now at 803-0550 as we get rolling. We'll talk more about this matchup and the Bills' injuries as we go here as well. Nate Geary in for Mike, along with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog, and this is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.